The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
When you drive the brand ranked number one in dependability by J.D. Power, you can stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see yourself behind the wheel of the brand ranked number one in dependability by J.D. Power. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Kia received the fewest reported problems among all brands in the J.D. Power 2022 U.S. Vehicle Dependability Study based on 2019 models. See jdpower.com/awards for 2022 details.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino online.
I was only playing for fun, so winning was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's favorite free online social casino. You too could have the chance to win life-changing cash prizes. Absolutely anybody could be like Mary. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and play for free now. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of the winner.
She literally does not like air hitting her. It's the weirdest.
Uncomfortable.
Like if you're sitting in a car, Brian, you like the air conditioner on, right? Especially during the summer. And you like it to like hit you, right? In the face.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't. It is.
Oh my God.
It's uncomfortable on my skin. I don't know why like that. I just hate it.
You know what? So I was making fun of accents with Jake Morbid, Brian, and Christine.
Uh-huh.
And to the audience that doesn't know who Jake Morbid is, that's all right. Friend of ours from long time ago. And dude tried to sit there and call me a Southerner. And he's like, you lived in Tennessee all this time. And I'm like, dude, I've lived in Virginia now more than I lived in Tennessee at any one consecutive time. My dad was in all of our fathers were in the Army. You guys are dealing with a bunch of Army brats if you didn't know that. Then he was like, you've got an accent. I'm like, what?
There's some things you say.
Every now and then, but it's just like words that I have that might have a New Yorker twist to it or a California.
It depends on who I'm hanging out with. I can change. I can go depending on who I'm with.
I know. We pick up all sorts of things. And
exactly.
Yeah.
Morbid on the other hand. Southern. Morbid on the other hand, Mr. like Frenchman. Yeah. If you ever watch this, I just said it. I'm always messing with him about his French like roots and stuff like that. And he's always messing with me about the Irish stuff. So yeah, but you guys don't give two craps about that. You guys want to chit chat about anime. Oh, and here's the great thing. Even though I started recording, Brian was not on screen. It was just me and Christine.
Oh, shame on
surprise,
you.
I'm here.
Uh-huh. Brian's here. You guys thought you were going to miss out and you didn't. Let's do this. Hello, everyone. Welcome to AVR here on the Genreverse Podcast Network, wherever you get your podcast from, and the Genreverse Podcast Network YouTube channel. Please hit the follow and subscribe button. Seriously, if you guys are listening to us, we really do appreciate it. And seriously, do hit that follow and or subscribe button. Help us out. Help us help you with more content by showing our bosses that you guys like this stuff enough to help us get paid a little bit for it. We need those 1,000 subs, so please do help us out. And thank you to all 485 so far as of this recording that have subscribed. You guys are awesome. Appreciate you joining us here. I'm Kyle. That's Christine. That's Brian. And Classroom of the Elite Season 2, Episode 11, review. SEO and rhyming and everything. Guys, what an episode.
It's messed up.
Yeah, if you watched our reaction, appreciate it. It was pretty intense, crazy episode. Some of you may have heard Christine and my kind of initial thoughts. Brian, what were yours for this episode?
Shocking. the most shocking episode we had. Yeah. That's the word.
That's the word I used on our not shocking. No, I think I did say shocking or just shock on our reaction.
It kept
video.
Going, and I was like, wait, how far are they going with this?
Yeah, I know.
I'm
right?
Like, oh my god,
way further than I thought.
Yes.
And according to some in the comments, and again, shout outs to guys like, and I'm gonna mess up all these names, but De Bojoiti. Raut, Jonathan Greyes, Quasar, of course, Keo. I'm going to get on to you in a second, but buddy. Dark Berserk 21. A lot of you guys, and of course, Big Brain G, a lot of you guys went out and gave us a lot of context for things like this, including that Big Brain G said that this was way worse in the light novel. And
I'm
you know
sure
what I mean
was.
By this. This was way worse in the light novel. So, yeah, really cool stuff. But you remind me, Keo, to get on to Keo. but later in the spoilers. For those that might not be into reaction videos, Christine, just what did you think of this episode?
Shocking, of course. A lot of it's just intense, and you know there's so many things I want to say right now, but I'm gonna hold
on to it. All right. Yeah. I agree, guys. It was incredibly shocking. This was wonderfully done. I do think, again, animation was still amazing again, but more because of like how they composed the shots. Color was a big thing. Sound design again was pretty good on this episode. Yeah, I also want to get into some more spoilery territory, so why don't we just go ahead and grade it, starting with Brian.
This for me was a B, just a regular okay. B, and the reason was, without spoiling anything, it was a shocking second half, was very shocking. Mm-hmm. Which I'm completely cool with, but as a whole, the episode, I don't know, it felt like it was missing a little something. The first half was a lot of talking, which was important. The second half was what it was, and we'll get into that. But to me, I don't know, I didn't feel as complete. I didn't feel that they had a good enough stinger at the end. But yeah, so
okay. Does it change if I tell you that we were corrected and it will be 13 episodes?
Oh,
there's 2 weeks left.
That's nice.
Does that change it at all? It still feels like it's missing some?
It's, okay. Yeah, because, well, we'll get into the spoilers.
Okay. Christine, what do you think?
A minus.
Rationalize.
Ending... Okay. Well, for me, I guess I just liked it better than you did, Brian, but... I was shocking at the end. It's like, as soon as the episode ended, it's like, no, I wanted to finish.
I'm gonna give it a solid A minus, and it's funny you say solid A minus, but I mean that in the best way. Like, it is like a 93 out of 100. Like, it is a good solid A minus right there before heading into A territory, and I'm just gonna say it's because of one word. Koenji. I loved that. As great as the second half of the episode is, I thoroughly enjoyed that scene, all of it. So yeah, I think it was a good, and then like I said, I really appreciated shot composing.
We've had a long day.
We've had an awful day, guys. Ever since the reaction, it just went downhill. But yeah, sorry to hear about that, Brian.
We'll talk after.
we'll get with you offline. Online, but offline. So spoiler territory. So there's really only like three things to kind of discuss, and but two of them kind of flow together. One, Ryuan in the classroom, like busting in.
Thinking he owns the place.
Well, I mean, he kind of does.
No.
Busting in and starting some crap and getting Koenji to I said it right, right? Koenji? Yeah.
Yeah.
Getting him to where he wanted him. He's on his big hunt and search. When someone was like, I forget the character's name was, you know, hey, Ayana Koji, why don't you go with them and make sure nothing bad happens? I was like, he ain't going. I didn't think he would go at first. I forget who it was in the comments pointed out that he probably went to make sure that there was like, to draw attention away from him, right? He didn't want to seem like the odd man out that didn't go there when everyone else does. But I thought for a moment he might just be like, not my problem, you know.
Yeah.
What'd you think, Christine?
I agree. I mean, it just, he's trying to back off and he doesn't want to make himself noticeable, so yeah, that does make sense. But it's, you know, stopping playing all the pieces, like the appearance of it.
The
I don't give two shits kind of attitude.
What do you think, Brian?
Same. I was surprised he went. I didn't see that coming. And then I guess we'll wait until that conversation. But yeah, I was a little confused by what exactly was happening for the first part of it. And then I figured it all out. But it was, for a moment there, I was like, do I need to rewind this? Am I missing something?
Yeah, definitely. Let's get to where the first like half of the show really shows down, and that's between Ryu and, I don't know what her deal is. She's jumped up, down. Say hi, Saris. Say no. Okay. Koenji and Ryu and have a showdown, and it's a great showdown, and it's one where you start thinking, like we mentioned in our season one review, which we did all at once. We didn't do episode by episode, and then maybe again and during this, we all wondered, is Koenji really like super smart and shit? Like is he on to something? And I theorized that again in this reaction. I'm like, you know, man, he seems like he's more than meets the eye. Yeah.
More than the narcissist meathead.
I mean, he's still that, but more.
Yeah. That's what I just said. More.
What do you think, Brian? Do you think this showed a little bit more?
Well, he's been mysterious the entire series. We bring him up every so often, but in terms of what game is he playing has come up many times, and we got a little bit more of that this episode, but we did and we didn't, you know, we still really didn't get any answers.
Yeah.
But it was interesting that he was being spotlighted.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Definitely. Christine, did you think that showed some more? You already know where I'm going with this, don't you?
Yeah. I think you're right, sort of. Not like brilliance, but smarter than just the person who's like, oh, there's work involved. I'm gonna go. Yeah.
Kyo here in the comments, not that big of a deal, but it was a little annoying because I like it when my theories being equally wrong as I do being right. And I like that journey towards finding out whether or not something I posited earlier was right or wrong. We're in spoilers, by the way, and this will actually somewhat spoil a little bit going forward for everyone. So if you don't know this yet, you haven't seen the comments, fast forward like maybe a minute or so. Koenji is the second smartest in the school and possibly on pair, I'm guessing they meant par with Ayana Koji, just different personality. Y'all will see in season 3. You always do that, chewing on the cord. So go away. So yeah, a bit of a spoiler there. Koenji's super fucking smart.
Yeah, I did not see that coming. I'm kind of disappointed, actually.
Well, he's been an anomaly this whole time. You know, it's like, well, how did he get in this school? Like, that was always one of my thoughts. And like we said, was he playing, you know, is he working with someone else? Is he, you know, what exactly is going on? But if the fact is he's smart and he's just trying to lay low, I mean.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. See, like, we're used to it here. There's just someone, you know, daddy got you in, that kind of thing is what I was thinking. Mm. Like, that's why you're here. It's daddy's powerful.
Yeah, why can it be mommy?
I don't know.
Oh, that was funny. That was funny.
Ha ha. Anyway, but yeah, like your parents get you in and you just suck at life, but they're just like, no, just keep passing him, keep passing him.
Well, I'll say this, guys. Try, please, for everyone in the that's anime only, especially if there's a theory posited and it's not answered during that episode, let it lie. Like, don't tell us whether we're 100% right or wrong. But we do appreciate everyone that does join in and discuss. So thank you. Keep doing that, and you're cool. You're cool with me. Just don't do it.
It's like, oh no, yeah, you just know, right? Threw a grenade into everything.
But anyways, the other part that goes down in here, besides Koenji showing, you know, hey man, I'm tracking what you're doing, Ryuun. You're looking for some mastermind. I ain't gonna tell you shit about it, probably because he's holding on to that information for, you know, if it could be beneficial to himself later.
Well, that's what got me thinking now, that maybe he knows everything. Maybe he's figured everything out and he's just like sitting
everything.
Maybe that I would like.
Just see,
I take back my comment.
Just see him. Geez, you're peeking.
Sorry.
All of a sudden you decide to finally find a set of lungs. It's okay.
Ha ha.
No, like I said, guys, we've had a horrible day, so everyone.
I know, you're being
mean.
A butt munch.
The other day, you did that to me on, was it Violet Evergarden that day? Yeah, you were just awful to me. So payback's a bitch. The other part that happens besides that is, Sakia, God, I can't remember her name. Her dad is the chairman or whatever from a previous episode. She comes in and pokes the bear. Class B.
Oh, she's B.
Or no, A. Yeah. She's A. Comes in and freaking pokes the bear. I mean, excuse me, the dragon boy. One, where the hell does that come from?
What is this about? Yeah.
Because Koenji mentions dragon as well. And then two, man, dude, she didn't just like poke. She straight up took like a red hot poke and was like, "Dragon boy, do something!" And dude almost drop kicked her freaking.
But she didn't flinch, and it was
she
like,
didn't
what
flinch.
The hell?
She already had someone that was gonna step in front, take that hit. Yep.
She's got people.
And there's Horikita like, oh my goodness, how is this going to go down? And someone's going to tell someone, nah, man, I tripped and fell. Yeah, Horikita, he tripped and fell. What? Like, dude, it was such a fun scene to see these, for lack of a better word, Sigma, you know, students, these top of their groups. And fighting to be the top of the whole shebang. I really enjoyed that. I mean, an episode of a tournament arc, but with no real fighting other than the one attempted like kick.
That's a good description.
Yeah, see? Yeah. So that's kind of why now I've justified my A minus. You justified yours. I've justified mine. Anyone else have any thoughts on that scene? No?
No.
It's cool. Like the animation of him jumping in the air, man.
Dude, it was great, right?
I don't know. I guess the American in me is just like thinking back like when we were in school, it's like, is there gonna be a fight? I wanna see a fight, you know? Everyone's like huddling around.
I like
who's gonna throw the punch?
I like how it proves, even though Ryuun's all about violence and he mentions that as like a great weapon in a few episodes ago, I like how instead they're showing what real information is, or what real power is, which is information. Everything they are doing, even Koenji, I guarantee you, while he might know a lot of stuff, even he is still probably, you know, intel gathering with every word, everything he says. So... let's talk about our poor girl.
I know.
Let's talk about Ryuan setting the trap for Ionakoji via Karyozawa. We missed something that's covered in the light novel about the cameras. I want to read this because someone actually took the time to really lay it out. Mr. or Mrs. Debojiati Raut. Sorry. They basically said that in the light novel that the cameras that Ryuan pushes something with the cameras and finds out that he can basically get away with it, that they're only really looked at if there's reason to. Other than that, no one cares. So painting them is not going to really cause too much of an issue. I made a joke about it being like lazy writing, like, come on, man, they would have seen you with the spray paint. But apparently there's some other things that happen in the light novel, so just pawn it off to anime being anime. And I was being jocular about it. Anyway, I just wanted to make a funny joke, and I did and I was proud of myself. But this was an intense scene, man. He drags her out there by threatening to out her with the stuff that Manabe, I think is the girl's name, from the bullies on the ship earlier this season, outing her about, you know, her past of not being this social butterfly, instead, you know, having been bullied, potentially letting out that she doesn't have a boyfriend, all that type of stuff. And then proceeds to torture, like, they brought out a tool bag, Brian. Like,
yeah,
I said, like, we were watching, I was like, it's never good when they bring a tool bag. And when they started dropping water on her eyes, it's like, oh my, holy shit, they're doing this. And then they took it a step further and showed us a version of waterboarding. And I even got to talk about stupid soldiers. Hey, do you guys want to see what it's like to be waterboarded? We've got a medic here. Why not? Yeah, sure. Let's try this out for a few minutes. It sucks. And that's us willingly, most everyone around laughing and joking. And it's still an awful sensation, you know? I was surprised that they showed that in this, in 2022. What'd you think, Christine?
It was shocking. I mean, for a lot of reasons, because, I mean, he does so much, Ryuan does, and, I mean, past and in this moment, and it's like, how are you still in this school? And then he pulls out a freaking knife, and it's like...
Freaking knife.
I know, right?
Sorry about the F-bombs today, guys.
So, yeah, I'm just like, dude, you're gonna be in so much trouble. Why? But yeah, just, and she just holds on. I was very proud of her, but I feel so bad.
Yeah, she was very, very impressive on holding back. What'd you think, Brian?
It was shocking. I mean, because this scene was not just bullying or just, you know, something that would get you in trouble or expelled. I mean, I don't know what Japan's laws are, but once they bound her hands, we're in torture territory. Mm-hmm. We're in felony criminal.
Oh yeah, yeah. You're I mean, you've hostage. Got kidnapping,
you're,
you've
yeah
got,
you're yeah you're doing time.
Unlawful, what is it, unlawful, anyways, carry on.
Oh, so yeah, once yeah. that happened, and then, like you said, the pouring the water, and then once we get to the waterboarding part, I'm like, wow, this is criminal. Like, we've jumped into a whole nother level of this.
Not even just simple assault.
No not at all. Yeah, it's yeah tough. You do time for this. So That yeah, I was just like, oh my god, what's happening?
Yeah,
he's dead serious. We see one interesting thing before we bounce back to Kay here is everyone, of course, is wondering, where's Ionakoji? We know he gets a message about Kay. Ryuan even says that I messaged the mastermind. And we're all like wondering, you know, when and how does he come to the rescue? And there he is, hanging out with the Ionakoji group, which, one, answered a question. I was kind of curious as to whether or not he would actually hang out with that group now that he was kind of done, you know, thinking he was going to have to help the teacher raise the class up to A. So that does kind of show that part of him at least wants the normal stuff? Like, or is that just him using the eye on a code? You see what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I don't even know what to trust. But I did find that interesting. And then I thought maybe he's going to have them and be like, oh, we were in this area as part of a group thing. And that's, you know, how he can help rescue Kay from Ryuan without tipping his hand, you know, hey, I am the mastermind. Mm-hmm. What do you think, Brian? How does this resolve? Is this resolved next episode or the final?
This is why I gave it a lower, you know, still a B, good score, but it's one of the lower ones I've given. I don't know, it just didn't feel like an ending to me, and I don't need, you know, I'm all for episodic storytelling, mm-hmm. but I don't know, it felt like something was off because there was no level of you're left with no question of, well, what's going to happen next. There's no like tease. It's just like, well, she's getting tortured. That's it. Like, there's no like, I don't know.
Maybe it's meant to be one of those episodes to just leave you like feeling like you need a shower.
It definitely.
It's just like, you can't help but think, it's like, what is the school doing? Because I mean, if you get a student that dies, I mean, does your program work? And are you going to get shut down? And
it's like Koenji was saying, you know, or was it Ryu? And one of them was saying, you know, the whole school's designed for you to not tell you everything and for you to push boundaries and limits yourself. Which is, I mean, kind of sort of a allegory or metaphor, whatever, you know, word is right to adolescence in general. You know, your parents, your school sets up these boundaries. Some of them are vague. Some of them are very, very clear. But the whole point of adolescence and young adulthood is pushing on those boundaries and seeing what happens, seeing why are some of them so set in stone? Why are others vague? And how to make them work to your advantage?
That's the question. Is it, and it seems to be that way, that the school has set up these rules. They want you to break them, but without getting caught.
Yeah.
And it's like, basically, that's sort of the caveat. It's like, okay, yeah, we want you to break, we want you to succeed, just don't get caught. And but what is the purpose? What are they training them for?
Yeah, because there should be a line.
It sounds like my safety briefings. Look, soldiers, I know you're gonna do stupid shit. I know you're gonna go out and do stupid shit. I was a young soldier that did stupid shit. Don't get caught. Keep it like non-felony and don't get caught. I'm not stupid. You're gonna go do stupid shit. Don't get caught. So yeah, I mean, I get it. But that's kind of like how the real world is, even, you know, like it's not even just the adolescence part, but even adulthood is all about pushing boundaries, figuring out limits, and these guys just take it to an extreme. So
yeah.
I love the show. It's sad to see it coming to an end in a way, and not necessarily the show, but this season. It's got two episodes left, guys. So yeah, stay subscribed. We will be doing two fall shows for you guys, at least the three of us for AVR, and that is core two of season one of Spy Family, and then Chainsaw Man. So get excited for that. I didn't mean to do that, but haha, fun. I said get excited.
Senku.
Yeah, exactly. Look for that next year, because dear God, that's the reason why this show even exists. What else do we got going on? Suzume unlocking the doors. We should be getting screeners for that. We hope, we would love for crap, I can't even remember the studio, Daddy Comics Wave. No, is it Comics Wave? I can't remember the studio that Shinkai works out of. I don't know if we'll get one for the like November release in Japan, but we'll definitely get something for you guys when the North American release happens. And then, yeah, AVR Squared, we'll keep doing reactions. If you guys have another suggestion, something else you guys are super passionate about, in the vein of classroom, something a little different, we're all open ears. I'm a disabled vet bum. This is my job, so I would love to react to more and do more anime content. So yeah, let us know. Anything else you wanted to put out, Christine?
No.
Okay. Cool, guys. So do head over to LRMonline.com every day for all entertainment news, needs, and opinions. We have celebrity interviews via the LRM Online YouTube channel there. We have all the podcasts. We do news aggregation of sorts with our own opinions or thoughts on the news. We cover leaks and rumors, conventions, comics, gaming. Excuse me, everything you guys can imagine goes up on the website. All the podcasts are available there, but you can also get those wherever you get your podcasts from. Google, Spotify, Apple, Sounder is our new distributor, and we're also on there. I'm working on getting us on other places, but if we're not somewhere, drop it in the description box below. Let me know, and I'll work on that. All of the podcasts like Breaking Geek Radio and The Daily Cog, which cover everything in entertainment, Marvel Multiverse Mayhem, and The Cantina doing Marvel and Star Wars news and reviews, respectively. AVR Squared, which is the reactions, genre shot trailer reactions, review of The Rings. I mean, come on, guys. That was not taken. I took that. That was not a name. We have review of The Rings, okay? So if you guys are...
You're very proud.
I am, damn it. If did I not mention how awful the day was? I need some W's, okay? And those come in the forms of subs. So anyway...
And they have interesting takes on the review of the Rings thing.
Oh, thank you, Brian. Yeah,
definitely check that
out. Thank you. Cam is a big Tolkien fan, and he's bouncing everything off of what came in the Silmarillion, the appendices, the things that are canon, if you will. But he's not spoiling anything ahead of time, so he only bounces off of what we've seen so far in the Rings of Power. So yeah, lots of great content is what I'm saying. Everything that we have here, or we have something for everyone here, basically. And if we don't cover it, that guy does. Brian, tell him about your channel.
It's called Pulp Mythos. It's on YouTube. Check it out. A lot of content out there. A lot more coming soon. So check it out.
What's a show you're gonna cover that you can tease that's not up yet?
Big Sky. We've been doing Big Sky. It's about to start back. Reba nice. McEntire this season. Hey,
My sister got a picture with her when she was like 2. I think it was in cool. Nashville. Like so, I mean, yeah, Nashville's right down the street. So, yeah. Country music and I have a very, very abusive relationship. Which makes sense because it's country music. Well, no, because I don't like the like 80s. I don't care for Reba and Garth and
see, I like the 90s. Best,
Tracy, yeah. Tracy older, Lawrence older and stuff like
that. Nah,
I need older. Like I'll listen to Conway Twitty or something like that before I'll listen to
60s. Garth Brooks.
Yes, mm-hmm. I dig that more. Well, I like some bluegrass. Anyways, guys, if you want to hear more music talk, maybe come stop by the Daily Cup of Daily Cup of Genre with Manny and I. Until next time on AVR, bye.
Redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino online.
I was only playing for fun, so winning was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's favorite free online social casino. You too could have the chance to win life-changing cash prizes. Absolutely anybody could be like Mary. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and play for free now. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of the winner.
With Black Friday savings at the Home Depot, you can get top brand laundry sets with the latest tech to tackle any mess you might face this holiday, like automatic fabric and load size detection for spills of any size, from cookies and milk on your favorite holiday sweater to the toddler of the house discovering just how fun cranberry sauce can be. Make more magic this holiday season. Let your new appliances handle the mess. Final days to shop Black Friday savings and get up to 30% off, plus instantly save up to $750 on select LG laundry sets at the Home Depot. Ends November 30th. How doers get more done. Offer valid November 2nd through 30th. U.S. only. See store or online for details.